owe my life to the lover of my soul. Thankful that he died and gave himself for us. Ask for your prayers this afternoon. The Lord bless his word, and my prayer and desire is that it would feed your soul through this portion of his word as he did mine. It'd be a blessing to you. I'd like to begin in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, and beginning with the 18th verse, says, "Ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated, that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." That was something that whenever the Lord came and revealed himself and showed himself unto the camp of the Israelites, it caused fear. It got their attention. And even Moses, he said he quaked with exceeding fear at the presence of who God was. Whenever he would come down and he would recognize the presence of the Lord, it had an effect on him. It had an effect even on the countenance that he had. Whenever he came down from the mountain and being in the presence of this holy God, he came down and his face shone so brightly that they weren't able to look at it without a veil being put over their face, or his face. It says, "You're not come now today unto that mountain, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Ye are come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God." The scripture says, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Mount Zion is a place of renown. It was known, if you'll remember, even under Solomon's time, whenever the Queen of Sheba had heard report of the glory, of the beauty, and of the wisdom that Solomon had. She had heard the reports of it, and she came to see for herself. And whenever she came and saw, and you know how stories can go, how exaggerations can tend to happen, and no doubt she wondered, "I've heard some great things about Jerusalem, about the king of Israel, of Israel, and I want to see for myself and see if it's really so." And the report that she saw whenever she came and looked on it herself was that, "I haven't heard the half of it. All that I've heard has not accounted for half of what I experienced with my own eyes." I'm thankful today that there is a Mount Zion that is beautiful for situation, that is the joy of the whole earth, that brings joy to the hearts of men. May we be in this dark world that which is a source of joy, that which whenever folks they hear and they want to know and they want to learn more from our lives, that they can taste, that they can partake and say, "Surely the Lord is good." Solomon built and dedicated a beautiful temple to the Lord. David felt a little bit of the weight of what they were planning and what they did. Said, "Lord, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee." You look out of the stars of the night sky and you realize that's just the throne. That's his throne, that's his habitation, and the earth is his footstool. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? And to think that I'm going to prepare a place that the Lord will come and dwell in his very presence in this place. I don't want it to be shabby. I don't want to just throw something together that's haphazard. Lord, I want to do this from the heart. I want to give something to you that seems fitting to who you are. And so they planned a very beautiful, according to the pattern that the Lord had given, of the tabernacle and subsequently of the stationary temple that was built, was very beautiful. You could see from a distance as word reports of it was you could see the columns of gold from a distance of the temple. Lord, I want this to be dedicated unto you. And so they dedicated that temple to the Lord. The Lord still desires today to have a place on this earth that He can dwell. He said of Jerusalem, of Mount Zion, that my glory shall be in the midst of her, and it would be round about her. I'm thankful and I want to be part of Mount Zion. I'd like to look now at the 35th chapter of Exodus. Spend probably most of our time here. Exodus chapter 35. Preparation for the building of the tabernacle. These were a people that, if you'll recall, had just come out of bondage, of captivity. They had been under the oppression of Egyptian rule, and they were now free. They had now been delivered and were going out to serve the Lord. And the Lord drew a pattern. He gave an illustration or a pattern or a plan. This is what I want you to provide for me so that I can come in the midst of you and that you can meet with me. And so He had given the pattern of exactly how they were to make it and how they were to go about it and the dimensions and the colors and all that that we're so familiar with. But that's not a small undertaking. That's not a small task to go put all those things together that the Lord said, I want you to make it of these materials. They were out in the wilderness and out in the desert. And the Lord had asked for all these different kinds of cloths and of materials and of metals and woods and all that they were to provide for the building of the tabernacle. And now the time is coming where the plans are drawn up and they're ready to build the tabernacle. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded, that ye should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and badger skins, and shittim wood, and oil for the light, and spices for anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, and onyx stones, and stones to be set for the ephod, and for the breastplate. And every wise-hearted among you shall come, and make all that the Lord hath commanded, the tabernacle, his tent, and his covering, his tashes, and his boards, his bars, pillars, sockets, the ark, and the staves thereof, with the mercy seat, and the veil of the covering, the table and his staves and all his vessels and the shewbread, the candlestick. And he went on and on throughout all the things that the Lord had detailed to him. This is what I want you to build and to prepare for me. Moses had the vision of what the Lord was requiring and what the Lord wanted to build. And he was coming now into a place that he sent out the cry unto the children of Israel. The time is now to build the tabernacle of the Lord. And it's something that we need your help with. It's something that every one of you have a part to play in. Every one of you have a contribution that you can make to the building of the Lord here, to contribute to building up this thing that the Lord has given a vision of what it is to be in a plan. But now every one of you that's of a willing heart, every one of you it says whose heart stirred him up. This wasn't like the IRS. This wasn't something where they came along and sent officers around all the tents and said, let me see all your stuff that you have, and I want you to give so much percentage of it. But there was something here that the people's hearts were moved within them. You don't have to go in a case like that and say you're obligated to give that. I require of you under penalty of the law that you're going to cede that. You're going to relinquish that and give it up for the common good. That's not what the Lord was wanting. But I want us to think about the requests that went out here. Did the Lord really need all of that? Thought about Psalms 50. Hold our place here. Let's look at a couple verses in the 50th Psalm. Speaking here about offerings to the Lord. It says, I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy field. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. The Lord was letting them know, it's not the things that I need. It's not that I'm short and I don't have enough, and so I need you to come give me something that I don't have. But I'm looking for something from you. I'm looking for a condition of heart. I'm looking for an offering that is willing unto the Lord, that you say from the heart, Lord, I want to do this. You know, I see in this that we're reading in the 35th chapter of Exodus, a beautiful picture of the building of God. 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, one verse says that ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We are built up a spiritual habitation, a spiritual house. And we'll read more about that in a little while. You know, the Lord is pleased to take an offering from every one of our hands. The Lord had the resources. The Lord could have caused them to come across it in the valley, and it was already all there. Man cannot rival what God's able to build. They can't rival what God, look up at the sky and look out across the mountains of what the Lord, by the breath of His Word, is able to cause to leap into existence. But yet He said, I want you to come and bring the things that you have. And I want you to, of a willing heart, to come and build it up into a house for me. So how does the Lord want us to give to Him? Does He want us to appoint within the congregation those that say, come and provide your W-2 form, and we're going to see how much that you make in the year, and you're required to give so much of a percentage? There was a picture even in this of what the Lord is pleased with in giving. That it's not just something obligatory, that I've got to give this, or it's expected of me, or the penalty that I'll face if I don't do it, so I've got to go ahead and do it. Salvation is more than that. Living for the Lord is more than that. I'm so thankful that there is a heart work. There's something that the Lord will stir within us that you don't have to come tell me. I want to do it. I want to give to the Lord. Not just talking about money or finances. That's part of it. But Lord, I want to give my life to you. I want to give my time unto you. So we read in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, the Lord loveth a what? A cheerful giver. The Lord loves one that is willing to give of himself. It's willing to say, Lord, I have these things here. I don't begrudge it to the Lord. I don't come, all right, I guess I gotta do it. I'm gonna miss that. But Lord, I love you so much that I'm willing, and if I know that you want this, Lord, or that you have use or need of this, Lord, I want to give it. And so their hearts stirred them up within. Let's read down a little further. Verse 20, now after the needs had been made known, all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Now they have a decision to make. Moses didn't exact it of them. But he said, those of you that are of a willing heart. So could they not have turned and said, well, that's for somebody else to do. That's for my brother. They've got more than me anyway. So I'm gonna rely on somebody else to give to this thing. I'm gonna go and enjoy my own things. It says that they departed from the presence of Moses, and they came. Everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whose spirit made willing to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his servants, service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted. You see here, it wasn't just the strong, able-bodied men. It wasn't just those that were the rulers among the people, those that were wealthy. But it said men and women, young and old, no matter who they were, those that had a willing heart had something to give to the work of the Lord. And so they came and they brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Every one that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands, and they brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hairs. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. And so on it goes. Every one of them that was willing-hearted, every one of them that went home, I could almost see it. There was something that stirred in their hearts and said, I want to be part of this. I want to give to this. My heart is in the work here. They went home and no doubt rummaging through their things. And well, that's one of the things that he said he needed. And I don't know why he needs ram skins, but he said there's a need for that. And so I gather it up and I bring an offering unto the Lord. Notice again that it wasn't just those that were wealthy. It wasn't just those that had so much stuff that they didn't know what to do with it. But it said even the old women that didn't have a lot of means, no doubt, they had something that they could do. And so they came and they gave to the Lord that which they were able to do. They came and they spun. They recognized that the Lord had need of cloth and of thread. So maybe I can't do very much, but I can spin some thread. And so I'm going to put my heart into this, and I'm going to go and I'm going to spin some thread. You know, it may be hard. Perhaps it was for them to say, I don't know what good this is doing. Why am I spinning thread and this grand plan or vision that you have? This little bit of thread, it's nothing. But you know, the Lord doesn't ask for us to be the architect of Mount Zion. He doesn't ask for us to be the designer. He just says, I've already set out the plan and the pattern. I need willing hearts. I need those that are willing to say, Lord, maybe I don't have very much, but what I have, Lord, it's yours. And I come with a willing and a glad heart to contribute to the service of the Lord. That's why the Lord was looking for. Not that the Lord was in poverty or destitute and didn't have resources for these things, but these were His resources. The Lord took pleasure in working with earthen vessels to be able to see them come to a place of submission, of willing obedience to the Lord. It's no different today. The Lord is still looking and taking pleasure in those of earthen vessels that say, Lord, I don't have much. The graces within are not mine, but Lord, such as I have, I'll give it to you. My heart is in this thing. This is my way. The Lord's way is my way. The Lord's people are my people. My heart is in this. And so it's not, you ever heard the saying, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life? In other words, the thought behind that saying, at least, do something that you enjoy doing. Do something that you love to do, that you get up in the mornings and that's what I want to go spend my time. And you're not going to walk through it with drudgery and I got to go do this again and oh, another day. If I can just make it through to Friday. You hear people on the job saying that, and Monday their heads are hanging low and looks like they're about to trip over their chin, and Friday comes around and things are looking bright again. It's another cycle. But there's something more. There's a greater purpose than that. There's something more to live for than that. Give your heart to something. People give their hearts to all kinds of things in our world today. They give their passions and their energy, and it's nothing for them to sacrifice for the things they love. Oh, how much do we love Mount Zion? How much do we love the city of the living God, His ways and His precepts? Walk about Zion, Psalms 48 said. Let's go take a walk around Mount Zion. That's the chapter that started out with what we said, beautiful. For situation, the joy of the whole earth. So let's go take a walk about it. Let's go see the beauty of it. Let's go see the things that make it so strong and that make her the joy of the whole earth. Let's take good note of that lest we lose a vision of what it is. Oh, I thank the Lord for a beautiful plan, a beautiful city that He's built. It's not the work of men's hands. It's not in other places we read in the building that He said, don't lay any sharp stone to it, but take whole stones and build it up into this building, of which it is a picture of us today as whole living stones, not modified by man's wisdoms and man's thoughts of what the church of God ought to be, but in God's sovereign plan and wisdom and the beauty of His holiness and His ways. He says, this is what Mount Zion is. And He's looking for every one of us to have a part. Every one of us to give something unto it. So they gave. It wasn't just those that had something, although they gave too. You ever stop and wonder where they came up with all this stuff? They had just come out of Egypt as servants. Servants and slaves don't generally have a great abundance of wealth, of gold, of precious metals and jewelry and those kind of things. You know the Lord provided that? You can look back in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. Whenever they were preparing to go out into the wilderness, the Lord said, go every one of you unto your neighbors round about you and ask for many of these things. Go ask for gold. And the Lord gave favor unto the children of Israel. The Lord was able to go and soften the hearts of the neighbors and those that they were just inclined to give them all these things. And so the Lord, looking down into the future, was providing the very thing that they needed to give back to the Lord. You know, sometimes we can get in our minds and our thoughts, we heard a bit about it this morning. This is mine. These are my things. This is my time. This is my life. No, the things that we have are not our own. The Apostle Paul said, even of us, for ye are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your soul and mind and body with everything that you have. Glorify the Lord. Because it's not mine. The things that the Lord has blessed me with, if He's given me temporal possessions, it's really not my own strength that's gotten it for me. There's a part that I have to play in that. But I can't say, Lord, I've earned this. Lord, this was gotten of my own possessions. By the Lord's grace and the Lord's favor, the things that the Lord is wanting from us as His children, of talents, of gifts. The Lord's not coming and looking for somebody that just has such a powerful natural ability or gift that the Lord's, oh my, I need that. But it's the things that the Lord has given. It's the things that the Lord has gifted that He says, I want you now to be willing to turn around and say, Lord, the very things that you gave unto me, they're not my own. Lord, I want to glorify you with those things. And so I wanted to turn and with willing heart say, Lord, what I have, I'm willing to give to you. So they gave of their possessions. But there were also those as they came together. It says those that did the work of the engraver and the cunning workman and the embroiderer and the weaver and all those that could do any work, they came and contributed their time, their abilities and what they knew how to do. Some were able to give things and some were able to give of their time, but they all contributed together the portion that the Lord had given them the ability to contribute. I'm thankful the Lord doesn't expect of me the things that He's asking of you. The Lord didn't expect of the widow woman that went to the treasury the great abundance that the Pharisee threw in. But he says she, out of her lack, out of her want, she gave from her heart. She gave everything that she had. And that's of so much greater value than just going out of the abundance and giving something. The Lord is able to take two mites and He can build a temple with it if He wants. The Lord can take a few little fish and bread and He can feed 5,000 with it. The Lord is not looking for us to be as Nebuchadnezzar. Look at all these things that my hand has done. Look at who I am and look at what I'm able to do. Surely the Lord has need of me. But to say, Lord, I don't have very much. If You can take use of it, if You can make something of this, Lord, I'm willing to give it to the service of the Lord. I was reading this week about Hannah. Remember the plight of Hannah? She wasn't able to have a child, and her adversary was a thorn in her side continually, causing her grief and sorrow. And she went unto the temple and was praying there fervently and seeking the Lord. And Eli saw her, and she made her vow unto the Lord. Lord, if You'll give me a child, I'll give the child to You and to Your service. And the Lord did that. We heard about vows this morning. It's easy to make vows in time of trouble, in time of need. Lord, if You'll just do this, then I'll do this. But she stuck by her vow. Whenever Samuel was born, and you know the love a mother has for a child, she said, if I can just have him until he's weaned, if I can have him long enough to nourish him up to the point that he's able to go and be of service in the temple. And then the time came, the day came when he was old enough, and they went down to the temple, and she reminded Eli, I made a vow unto the Lord, and I want to loan this child unto the Lord for as long as he liveth. Lord, it's Yours. I made a vow. You blessed me with this. And Lord, I'm going to give it back unto You. Lord, help us that would be the way our consecration is. Lord, these things are mine. I don't live for myself. None liveth unto himself, and none dieth unto himself. But there's a greater cause and a greater purpose. Lord, what place do You want me to fill? What place in the body do You want me to fill? I can feel like sometimes that I can't do very much. I can't do what brother and sister so-and-so are doing. Or only if I had this gift, then I could really be a blessing unto the church of God. But I can't do anything. You ever have the devil come along and visit you with thoughts like that? You remember what I believe it's 1 Corinthians 12 says? Let not the foot say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Because it's not the hand, is it not of the body? It serves a different function, but it's just as vital to the working of the body as the other part is. But the enemy would like to come along and say, well, you're really not able to do much. Leave that for the preachers or the teachers or the evangelists, or leave that for them. And there's nothing really that you can do. But I want to challenge us this afternoon that the Lord has something for every one of us to give to the service and the work of the Lord. It doesn't matter how young or how old, woman or man, the Lord has a place for us to fill in the body of Christ. Say, Lord, why do You need me? Go use somebody else. The Lord is just looking for me to say, Lord, I'm willing. What You have given me, Lord, is Yours. I love how this story ends. It says that they received so much stuff that they had to tell the people, it's enough. We have plenty, enough, sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. And so they had to go and they had to tell them, cease from bringing. It's enough. It's enough. You see what a place to be in. People that are just so willing to get in there and work, or so willing to get in there and contribute and to do. And what? No, there are two other sisters that have already mopped that floor. Oh, but I was hoping to get a blessing out of it too. Or that, well, they already mowed the grass last week. Well, they've already had a work day last weekend. Well, let's find something else to do. Lord, help us to be of a willing heart. To be of a heart that says, Lord, Scripture says in Ecclesiastes, whatsoever your hand finds to do. Lord's not asking me to do what He's given another brother to do. But Lord, help me to see what You have for me to do. Lord, help me to see what I can give to You. And when You do it willingly. With a cheerful heart. With all Your might. That tells me that it's not about going through the motions. It's not about just doing it out of a sense of obligation. Yet at the same time, there are times that I do things because of the vows that I've made, and because whether I feel like it or not, I come to service. Whether my emotions tell me I feel like getting up and driving and going to service, I do it anyway because of my willingness to give unto the Lord. So it's about more than just a feeling or an emotion, but it's about a consecration. It's about a willingness of heart that says, Lord, I'm willing to give. And if You require it, if You want it, Lord, if it's pleasing to You, I want to give it unto the Lord. Remember the parable of the talents? The master came, Matthew 25, and he gave out talents to his servants. We know the parable well. In the kingdom of heaven, in verse 14, is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And he gave unto one, he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man, according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. According to my ability. The Lord's not asking of me something that He hasn't given me the grace or the ability, if I'm willing to consecrate and say, yes, Lord. Lord, I want to give my little part. But why, He'll bless. And so those that had received 5 went and traded the same and made them another 5. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. It's easy for us to do. The things that the Lord has put in our hands, the things that the Lord has given into my responsibility, the Lord has given, as we heard this morning, not to just build a storehouse out of it. Not for me to go and hide it under the earth, to go tuck it away somewhere for my benefit. The gifts that the Lord gives in the body are not just for the benefit of the recipient, not just for the benefit of the one the Lord gives it to, but He gives gifts unto the body for the edification of the whole body, for the effectual working of every part that comes together and that ministers one part at a time, one member at a time. I'm not going and trying to fill someone else's place. You're not coming and trying to fill mine. But the place that the Lord has given me to fill, I come and I give that and I consecrate it to the Lord with willing heart and with willing service unto the Lord. And the Lord's able to take that and build us up a spiritual house, fitly framed and joined together unto Him. Not to take and hide it under the dirt. You know, we can do that with fears. Lord, I wish I could say something. I don't know if I can say it right. I don't know if I can do that right. I don't know if I can pray in such a way that it's going to make sense to anybody. I don't know if my testimony. I don't know if this. I don't know if that. The devil will be relentless. And coming in and trying to tear down the efficiency or the working of what God has given us to do in the body. He may try to do it by building us up. He may try to do it by saying, look, you're pretty important. You're pretty well, much needed. Everybody else, look at him and look at the place that you feel, and to try to get us into a place that we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And if he can't do that, the enemy would like to come along and say, nobody wants that. Nobody appreciates you. Nobody sees the value of what you're able to do. Look what you, You've been laboring, you've been trying to do that, and man, it's not having any benefit. The enemy wants to cause us to become discouraged with the place that the Lord has given us to fill, no matter how big or how small. Whenever the enemy will come along and cause us to doubt and question, is it doing any good? Is this thing really of any benefit or of any value? I remember the Lord coming along at a time several years ago, a number of years ago, that the enemy was fighting me like that, and thought, Lord, if I don't know if what you've given me to do, if I'm able to do anything with it, or it's doing any good, or it's accomplishing anything, and maybe I ought to just leave it for those that are able to do it. And I remember the Lord giving me the verse in 1 Corinthians 15 in the end of the chapter. It says, be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain, that we'd be willing to come and contribute to the Lord and leave the building to the Lord. The Lord can take and build it up if I come in willingness to give and contribute it unto the Lord. The enemy can cause us to bury it under the ground through, mention, fears, through busyness, through thinking it's not enough or valuable enough, or if I had more, if I had two talents, I could do something with it. But with all that I have here, I just don't see how it's going to do anything. May the Lord help us to be faithful with what He's put in our hands. Faithful with what He's caused to come our way. The gold and the things that the Lord caused the Egyptians to give unto the Israelites, it wasn't just for their wealth and prosperity. It was for them to be a good steward of it. For them to take and with willingness, whenever the Lord said and the time came, now I want you to give it back to me. Lord, it's all yours anyway. Remember one minister talking about a time they went to find their chainsaw and it was missing. It looked like somebody had stolen the chainsaw and they were distraught and, Lord, somebody stole my chainsaw. And He said, whose chainsaw? He said, Lord, somebody just stole your chainsaw. And He said, it just changed the whole picture. Lord, it's yours. All of this is yours. Everything that I have, really, when it comes down to it, is the Lord's. It's to be given to the Lord. But sometimes it's easy for us to just lose focus of that, lose sight of that, to begin to start feeling a little bit possessive of my time, of my life, of my things. Lord, help me to live my life a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. The Lord's able to take a little, and He's able to do much with it. Remember the lepers? Whenever the Syrians had encamped around about Samaria and besieged it, for a long period of time, there was starvation and hunger in the city, and the lepers were ready to just lose hope and die. And so they said, let's go out into the camp of the Syrians. And if we perish, we perish. Because if we stay here, we're also going to perish. And so they went out there, but the Lord had caused the Syrian camp to hear a sound. And they went in fear and they ran out and they left all their stuff and their possessions and their food and all of that. And they found this huge feast. And they began sitting down and enjoying and partaking it and indulging of all the Lord had given them. And then a realization dawned on them. And they said, we do not well. For today is a day of glad tidings. Let us go back unto the city and tell the people in the city. Let's go back and share with them. The Lord hasn't given all of this just for my enjoyment. But I want to be able to take the things the Lord has caused to come my way, that the Lord has blessed me with. For some, it's an ability perhaps to just be a friend to somebody, to be able to call, to be able to reach out, to be able to show love to those that feel like outcasts or to those that don't feel loved. To be able, never underestimate the value and importance of smiling and saying hello or good morning in a store. In a dark world that we live in, never underestimate the things again that I could say, that's nothing. I can't do anything for the Lord. Can you smile? Can you say good morning? Can you say God bless you? Can you give somebody a little help whenever they're in time of need? Never underestimate what the Lord is able to do. With a little bit of thread that I've woven for the Lord and say, Lord, it's all I have. But I give it to you, and the Lord's able to take that and bring together the curtains and what He all the while had the great master plan. He knew how it all fit together. He knew just the place that He needed me to fill. While at times I would scratch my head and say, Lord, I don't know. Lord, help us to be faithful at that He's given us to do. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The Lord still desires in 2017 to have a place that this dark world can look to. A city that's set on a hill, Mount Zion, that's beautiful for situation. That they're able to look unto and see a place, a city, a building that is built up without men's hands, men's abilities, men's organizations, and the earthly, worldly wisdom of man. But it's able to be built up in a way that glorifies God through His Spirit. A spiritual habitation. Heavenly Jerusalem. That the Lord has for us that we can abide in with His Spirit. A habitation of God through His Spirit. That's the place that I want to abide all the days of my life. As David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Let me sweep the mat off. Let me take it and clean somebody's shoes, wash somebody's feet. Just, Lord, I want to be in the place. I want to abide in this place where I can see Your glory. Maybe I'm nobody special. I think in my mind. Maybe I don't feel like I have anything too great to offer. But Lord, what I have, help me to give it with great willingness of heart. That I might always be able to be in this place, the holy habitation of the Lord. You pray for me. Amen.